Hey there, Bloomers. Welcome to Podcast 6, Season 1 with Jacqueline Coates at Arts Creative Hub. So cool to have you back here. Today, I'm talking about why it's never too late to become an artist. So for some of you, this will be a really interesting podcast because if you've been thinking about painting, but you thought perhaps you've left it too late, well, I've got news for you. I think that becoming an artist when you're a late bloomer is possibly the best time to become an artist. Have a think about it. When you're 19 years old or 18 years old and you are trying to work out what you want to do in life, trying to narrow down your subjects and so on, it can be really hard to make decisions about what you want to do. And often we end up making choices that affect us for the next few decades with our study and the jobs we go into. So it can be hard to make the right choices when you have little life experience. And not only that, think about back when you were 18 or 19, you just perhaps have been living at home and studying. I'd say that'd be the case for most of us. And financially, you've probably been getting pocket money. You've probably been just learning the basics of how to live or how to vacuum or how to wash the dishes or even how to cook. So imagine when you go to art school, you're trying to balance paying bills with sharing in a house with new flatmates, balancing your experience of being in an adult body suddenly and all the hormones flying around, all the interesting people you're meeting, trying to keep your look together and all these things that go on. I know because I went to art school as a mature age student and I made great friends with lots of the younger students too, but I kind of saw that they were in a different place to where I was. And I guess I felt that I was in a place to really appreciate what I was getting in terms of the education, whereas some of them saw it as a bit of a chore. It was just more study, having had done heaps of study for years. So often when we come back to look at art and involving ourselves with art later down the track, it can be a lot more rewarding and we can be a lot more ready for it. Often we've got things sorted, like we know where we live, we've got our relationships sorted out. We're not sort of wondering who our partner's going to be necessarily. Most of us have got that nailed. Some of you not, but you know, you have adapted that and it's not something that drives you all the time later in life. It's something that it's a nice to have, and there are other ways to enjoy yourself. We create emotional stability for ourselves, I guess. You have lots of assets that you probably don't even realize that you have. You know, the fact that you can cook, the fact that you can produce income and pay your bills, the fact that you do have a roof over your head and you're not renting somewhere, the fact that you do know the people that you live with, that they're not transient, the fact that you can drive a car and have a car, all these little things, even the fact that you've shown commitment to doing certain things in your life. Perhaps you have had a project at home, perhaps you've created a garden, perhaps you've had kids, perhaps you put the kids through school. These are massive commitments. They mean that you don't give up when the going gets tough. You stick in there and you keep going and you get the jobs done. Well, when you're at art school as an 18 or 19 year old, you've had no such experience. And when you leave art school, which has felt like a chore by the time you finished even more years of education, you're ready to go do something different. And it's possibly not the best investment in you. So I'd like to invite you to think that perhaps it's a great thing that you haven't done anything with your art, and this is a great time to embrace what you're doing. It doesn't matter whether you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, or your 70s. So how cool is that? Now, I also want to share the fact that there are lots of famous artists who started late in life as painters. I think you're going to know some of these when I start telling you about who they are. So one of them is one of my favorite artists of all time. I'm going to start with him and I'm going to finish with another one of my favorites towards the end of the podcast. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Vincent van Gogh. Good old Vincent. You know, what a brilliant genius. He actually tried out many professions. He didn't know he was an artist first up. But first of all, he started out, he got a job in London and he became an art dealer with a lot of travel. He decided it wasn't really for him. He didn't enjoy it. And so he became a missionary for a while. And it wasn't until he was 27 or 28 that he really started painting. And from there, it was just this massive outpouring of creative energy and exploration. And he created about 900 artworks over a 10-year period. Now, as we know, we lost Vincent at the age of 37, but what a contribution he made to the world. And during his time, he literally only sold one piece, and what a lot of faith he had to have. I mean, there's so many reasons I love Van Gogh, and we will talk about him another time. But as an artist, he was a late bloomer. He started late, and he spent the last part of his life just going for it. So that's about two pieces a week that he produced. And then you also know Gauguin. We know Gauguin for his paintings of beautiful Tahitian women. He's very famous for those paintings. But did you know that Gauguin was, before he became an artist, first of all, he was a successful stockbroker for many years, and he actually had a family and loads of kids. And he picked up the brushes full-time after he'd been doing those things. Many artists don't come into their own until they've had a little more life experience, even if they have done art school early on. So a Chinese artist, Ai Weiwei, I think that's how you say it, A-I and then W-E-I, then W-E-I. He's a Chinese artist now collected internationally. He's in his 50s, but he only began to emerge with his social commentary work in his mid-30s. It took him some time. Now, that's pretty normal. It takes time to grow up and mature and develop your ideas. Andy Warhol was an illustrator for several years and very good at it too before becoming an artist, and even using some of those commercial skills that he learned and was good at to apply to his art. Jeff Koons, another American artist, studied fine art, but he didn't go into art straight away. First of all, he became a commodities broker and then turned back to his art, which he did full-time in his 30s. So he actually took his business training back into his art. He created a factory, had loads of people working for him. He would conceive the ideas, get the buyers, and have these people make the artwork. So he was a creator, but he wasn't necessarily doing all the hands-on. He was more of a, I guess, a producer and businessman, and commanding huge sums of money. You might remember that Jeff Koons did that fabulous big puppy sculpture outside the Contemporary Art Museum in Sydney, on right down by the quay there. It was all sort of covered in leaves and flowers, but it was a little terrier, a giant sculpture of a terrier. And he's also famous for doing those metallic looking giant balloon style sculptures. So yeah, very successful, but didn't really start getting into his art till his 30s. There was an English woman around the time of Joseph Banks, and actually he was friends with this woman, Mary Delaney. She was a woman who was widowed twice by the age of 68. In fact, she'd been forced into marrying a guy 43 years her senior, and then had to nurse him through ill health. So imagine that. Imagine being forced to marry somebody 43 years older. Yuck. But anyway, it was only after he passed away that she was able to then turn to her art. And she was 68 years old at the time. And she began creating these intricate paper cutouts of plants and flowers. So if you look up Mary Delaney, you'll see her art on Google. Just beautiful. She became famous for her decoupage, to the point where they're so exquisite, they're now part of the British Museum's collection. She created over 1,700 paper artworks and continued working until she was 88. How cool's that? So, I mean, how nice that when you discover your passion that you can keep doing it for the rest of your life. Right up until your last gasp. And what a way to go. And also, you've probably heard of Grandma Moses, an American painter who created charming, naive style paintings. So after a life working on the farm, she took up painting, but only mostly because she had arthritis in her fingers and couldn't do embroidery very well. So she painted instead. She found it easier. And she did enter some local competitions, but to no effect. But some of her paintings that she'd had put into the local drugstore and had up for sale, actually a well-known art dealer was passing through and he saw them and he just loved them, and he decided to promote her work and had it collected by major museums. So Grandma Moses was still painting at 101 years old, and she enjoyed a fabulous 20 years of painting and inspiring others. How cool is that? So anyway, some famous artists start younger, but nothing much happens till their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or even much later. Some people don't get celebrated and be invited for retrospectives of their work till, you know, way beyond, you know, when it's risky whether they'll be able to make it to the exhibition. So, please don't be put off if you haven't started. It's the only time is now, and that's a great time to start. In my own time, I've met some really great women who have come to me and haven't painted before or have done very little. One of my students did a little bit of work. I didn't meet her straight away. She came online and started learning, doing the How to Paint Blooms. And I started noticing the work coming through the Facebook group page. And I'm thinking, wow, that's like third, fourth, fifth, sixth amazing painting I'm seeing there. And I invited this person to come and have exhibit with us in a show that actually had much higher level students as well. And I got to meet her at the exhibition. She actually flew over to Perth where we were having the show. And actually, I had a spare room in my apartment. She stayed there, and she's fabulous. Her name's Pat Hillard. If you go and look up Pat Hillard, H-I-L-L-A-R-D, you'll see a lot of her stunning work, and she sells a lot of work, and she gets a lot of commissions too. When she started with me, she was 69, and by the time she was in her 70, she had started selling, and then she jumped into the Make Money from Art program and opened it up to next level. And honestly, she's been off and running and just doing so well. So, you know, it sounds like life begins at 70 for some of the ladies out there. I've had people who've come to me who were put off by tutors at art school or tutors in high school or art teachers in primary school. You know, it can be a few words that they say that can be really damaging and that people hang on to for years, like, oh, you're no good at this, or you'll never make an artist. Well, you know, what kind of art teacher would ever say that? I think one that's a crap art teacher, because they actually don't have the skills to get the results from the student. So they turn it outwardly and they put the blame on the student. When actually the student's there to learn from the person teaching them. So the only person responsible is the teacher. So I think just change art teachers if you're getting crap results. It's not about you, it's that you haven't been shown yet. And that's all you need. You need proper guidance just to get you on track, and then you're off and away. So super cool. One of those students left art school in her early 20s feeling really crushed and showed up in a workshop with me, gosh, how many years later? I'd say I'm doing the mental arithmetic, 32, 42, 52. I'd say 35 years later, and was delighted to find that she could paint. She did the Blooms Painting Workshop, where I have my system of painting that I teach people, the Blooms Painting Method, and basically gave her a structure and loads of paintbrush skills, and she was, you know, producing two pretty good works by the end of the weekend. But she was on fire afterwards, jumped into the Make Money from Art program and painted like an unleashed dynamo, and just went from strength to strength, to the point where now she's a best-selling artist out there and doing really, really well. So wonderful that she's been able to not work in the business that she was in before, and to take this on and have her income coming from her art, doing the thing she absolutely loves. Some of us have been really busy with relationships, family, jobs, responsibilities, looking after everybody, and it's been hard to get a moment for yourselves. I know that because I speak to my students a lot about, you know, what goes on for them. So it's just wonderful sometimes when, even though you love the kids and it's a hard thing making the transition for the empty nesting, where the kids don't come home as much and they're pretty busy, we've done such a great job that they're out there living their lives, and we go, wow, actually now there's time for me. What would I like to do? Now, because we're so great at servicing everybody else and helping everybody else, sometimes that can mean we feel guilty doing something like art. I had one of my students say to me, I actually feel guilty doing this. I'm so used to working all the time or doing something to help the family that doing something for me makes me feel guilty. I feel that, you know, I love doing it, but it makes me feel like it's frivolous in comparison to everything else. So that was really amazing for me to hear, because actually when you create art and you're really enjoying it, then it makes you feel really good, and that's good for all the people around you. And we're not here just to work. We need to be here for ourselves as well, and to value ourselves and our time. And also the work that you put out there is an inspiration to others. So yeah, I mean, I do understand how somebody could get to that place. And actually, I love my work so much that that's mostly what I do too. But it can feel new and different too when you're giving yourself the opportunity to paint. So I hope that this is ringing some bells for you. If you have been putting it off, because it's all about just giving yourself permission to do some art, and to have a go, and to give yourself the opportunity. Yes. So the great thing about creativity is, even if you haven't touched it and you've worried if you've missed the boat and is it still there, and you may not have painted for years and you're wondering how can you tap the depths again, the great thing about creativity is that it will still be there waiting for you very patiently. It will be the most patient lover you've ever had. And it's waiting for you to reconnect. It doesn't die. It's not like eggs in your ovaries that frizzle and wither after a certain time. You can see that a lot of people come into their own and make really great art, you know, at the back end of their life. I mean, that's often when it's the most productive and creative time, because they've mastered other things in their life and they've got time and energy to put into it. It's so cool. So never feel like it's too late. And so I didn't start till I was 36. I was busy being an art director and getting my life together as well, but I kept making deposits along the way. I talk a lot about that in podcast one, about how I became an artist. So if you're interested in that, I share my journey, and that might give you some ideas. One lady who listened to that has actually messaged us to say that she's given up a day job and she's pursuing her art. How good's that? So that is really good. So I did let you know that I would finish with my other favourite late bloomer. I started with Vincent. I'm going to finish with Monet, Claude Monet. I joke with another artist in France. She loves Monet too. She's a watercolour artist, Natalie, and we joke, no, he's my boyfriend. He's my secret boyfriend. We know he's passed and he's not here, but it's mentally he's just fantastic, and visually he's fantastic. She says, no, he's my boyfriend. No, he's my boyfriend, Natalie. So anyway, we always have a laugh over that because we both love him and adore him. So what's not to love? So basically he had a family, and his first wife died. He had been involved with gardening and loved flowers. But it wasn't until in his 30s that he actually started mucking around with paint and doing a bit of art. And it wasn't until his 40s that he actually made some headway and started getting somewhere with it. And then, of course, the rest is history. He did his series of hay bales. He did his series of nymphaeas or water lilies endlessly. He did his huge panoramics that are at the L'Orangerie in Paris. He created a water garden that didn't exist at Giverny by diverting the streams and creating this incredible garden. And he got the lovely water lilies from, inspired from an expo in Paris, international exhibition, but they'd come in from, I think, Asia. And I think all the local farmers were worried that he was going to poison the water with this crazy scheme he had. But he kept going. He believed in himself. He did it. And now, today, we enjoy his art and his legacy that he left us. We love visiting Giverny in the gardens and the house, and you know, most major museums around the world have got his artwork. Now, he didn't start really knowing what he was doing and on about till in his 40s. The rest was kind of in his 30s, just feeling his way and working, you know, trying to work it out. It takes time, and it's a beautiful thing to spend your time on. Yes, for me, it was like a calling. I couldn't shake this thing that I just wanted to be with the art. Every time I did a drawing or a painting, I just seemed to need to spend more and more time with it. And saying yes felt better than saying no. I was afraid of not being able to support myself, and that's also a big stop for a lot of people that love to do their art but they don't know how to support themselves. It is really important to maintain some stability financially, because if you don't have stability, you don't have a roof over your head, and you can't think straight when you're worried about bills. So you do need to find a balance, and for some people that balance doesn't happen till later in life when they've got a few of those things sorted, and that's completely understandable. But also it means you're ready and you're attentive and you're interested and you've had loads of life experience. So Monet would be my favourite late bloomer alongside Vincent. And there are many, many others, and loads of people who plugged away for years before getting any recognition too. But it doesn't mean they enjoyed it any less. It's not just about the money, is it? It's about that immersion in the art. It's about having that purpose in your life. It's about feeling that magic when you're connecting with your work and really going into a deep place and losing hours while you're there. It's very different to the busy space that we live in day to day. When you go to do your art, it's very peaceful. And it's also constantly opening up. And through your art, you can meet great people, have exhibitions, do great projects, have collaborations, create art that you never thought of before, and every painting can be an adventure. So it's just the energy around being an artist is exciting. And for somebody who needs to find their spark and reboot, perhaps you're jaded from a job, perhaps you have given yourself so much to family you forgot about yourself, finding yourself through your art is a wonderful transformational process that I can highly recommend. And once you get the bug, it will keep calling to you and it will change you. You will want to be with it. It's so fantastic. So look, I think the best time to become an artist is when you've had a little bit of life experience. I think, you know, not at least until your late 20s. You know, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, great time to become an artist. You haven't missed the boat by any means. Look what Vincent did in 10 years, seriously. And there's loads of contemporary artists who've come through, and Louise Bourgeois, French artist living in America, she is passed now, but she did a brilliant body of work of installations and sculpture. She came from a tapestry family, a family who sold tapestries and in France, and she grew up with all those fabrics and things around her. So she worked a lot in fabrics herself as well. And it wasn't until she was in her 80s that she became a celebrated artist. She just seemed to fall between the cracks until then, but then it was all on for young and old and everybody wanted her. So. And that would have been an amazing thing for her. So if you've been holding back for no good reason and you'd love to immerse yourself in your creativity, I would just say go for it. Of course you can do it. Nobody's stopping you, and that's the wonderful thing. Just say yes and take some action. The action could be getting yourself to some exhibitions, going to the art shop, buying some paints of all the colours that you really love, a couple of brushes and some canvases. I've got some free projects if you're interested. I'll give you a couple of links here if you're interested to go connect up. I've got some lovely projects to warm up with. I've got a furniture painting, you know, do some painting on a furniture in a nice loose style. In my, if you go to the Facebook Blooms Art School online, I've got a group page, a private group page with a few projects. I've got a drawing project, a painting furniture project, and a how to mix hundreds of colours from five tubes of paint projects, which saves you about $800 in paint. Great places to start if you are feeling a bit crusty, rusty. And we're just opening up a new section called Blooms Artist Community. And if you go to www.bloomsartistcommunity.com, you'll see we've got some free downloads in there, including a very inspirational free art magazine that I've edited with great articles. If you like this kind of chat, you're going to learn heaps of different things, different contributors as well. And I'll be adding to that. That's at bloomsartistcommunity.com, and enter your details and we'll keep you in the loop as well. I do have something special I'm adding to that in the next probably 10 days, which will be a beautiful and very useful downloadable book about, which will help you to manage your paint a lot better. Yeah, so there you go. It's never too late to bloom, and thank blooming goodness for that. I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. I'll be back with more soon, and love and paintbrushes from me, Jacqueline Coates at Blooms Online. See you soon.